Well, please join me now in Hebrews chapter 1, a brand new series of messages we're now entering into. Maybe you remember, we began 2025 in the book of Philippians, and we wrapped up that wonderful study last week. And the theme for our walk through Philippians was this, that we were pressing on. We're forgetting the things lying behind, but we're pressing on that we might know Jesus more and more, might love Him more and more, might have greater faith in Him more and more. And now we come into Hebrews, and it really is a wonderful next step because the theme of Hebrews is this, no turning back. The letter to the Hebrews is written to a group of people that we can tell they were wavering in their faith. In some ways, they were thinking about maybe this is too difficult to follow Christ. Maybe the suffering is not worth it. And some of them were thinking about leaving their faith in Christ. And we're going to see some strong warnings against doing that in the book of Hebrews and lots of motivation for us to hang on to the one we have in Christ. Now, that's the theme and that's where we're going, but Hebrews begins with some of the most impressive and beautiful verses in all of the Bible. That's our text today, verses 1 through 4. What we're going to see is a very exalted Christology. We're going to see together the greatness of Jesus on display even in these first four verses of Hebrews. And it's a great place for us to start in a series that's about not falling away, not turning away from Him. Because when you look at Jesus and all of His greatness, as we're going to do this morning, we're going to see how illogical, even insane it would be to turn away from Jesus in light of how great He is. So with that, let's go into our text, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name that He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The first great thing I want us to see together this morning is this. Our God speaks. Our God speaks. That's verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. Now, if you, like me, grew up in a Christian culture, I wasn't a Christian in my early years, but grew up in a Christian culture, the idea that God speaks, well, that just seems normal. In other words, the fact that there is a Bible, that's God's Word. I grew up knowing about that. I had no interest in reading it, but I knew about that. So you might take for granted that God speaks, but don't take that for granted. This is an awesome truth that God wants to communicate with us. He has chosen to speak, though He did not have to. We could never say that God owed us communication, God owed us some revelation of Himself. No, God in His kindness and mercy has spoken to us. And from the very beginning, God has been speaking. So we could think back to eternity past. We certainly know, we would know that within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they would be eternally in communion and in communication with each other within the Godhead. But even when it comes to us in the creation, we see God immediately speaking. Famously, God said things in the creation week like this. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Our God speaks. And He kept on speaking. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. Even after their fall, the Father was speaking to them. And through the prophets, He spoke volumes to us. As the Scripture says, in many times and in many ways, God has spoken. And for our benefit, so much of what God has said has been recorded for us faithfully in the Scriptures. So this understanding that God speaks says so much about Him. The fact that God speaks to humanity means that He cares for us. Don't miss that. That God speaks means He is involved with us. He's making Himself known so that you and I can relate to Him. So our understanding God is very much not a deistic view of God. Maybe you've heard of deism. They tell us that some of our founding fathers were deists, and that's very different than biblical Christianity. Here's how deists are described. Deists hold that after the motions of the universe were set in place, God retreated and had no further interaction with the created universe or the beings within it. What a strange view of God. On the one hand, acknowledging that God created the universe, that's good, but what a bizarre view that God created everything, and the wording here, he retreated from it. He's not interested in it. He doesn't care about it at all. Listen, that's the exact opposite view of God from what we have in the Bible, and aren't you glad? In the Bible, we see that God reveals himself to us, that over and over again, it's God who's initiating a relationship with us. Notice again, verse 1, God spoke in many times and in many ways through many prophets in many different places at many different times. So just from your knowledge of the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophets, think about the variety of men and the variety of means by which God spoke to people. So God spoke to people like Moses and Isaiah and Amos, and Daniel, and many, many others. And God spoke in some unique ways at times. So with Moses, we think about that occasion at the burning bush. That wasn't God's normal way of communicating. It was a one-time encounter, but God was speaking in many times, many ways. There's other occasions where the prophets would have some kind of vision, like one had a vision of a boiling pot, and there was a message going along with that. There was another occasion when one of the prophets saw handwriting on the wall, and God does these amazing things. But I think our preference is, when we're reading the Old Covenant, when God said to the prophet, say this, thus says the Lord. We like that. That's clear, no symbolism, just tell me what you want me to know. But the point is, God has been speaking in many times, in many ways, but here's what's noteworthy. In all that speaking with all these different Old Testament messengers, it came across as one unified message. The same attributes of God are given to us. This same unfolding plan of redemption for mankind, that's what's coming from these prophets. Not a bunch of diverse messages that don't connect, oh, but one unified message. So because God is involved and has spoken, we know that ours is not some vague spirituality. We're not relating to a distant, disinterested deity. God has spoken so that we can know him and we can know him well. God has revealed that we were created to know him. We're created to trust him. We're even created to enjoy him above all else. So God spoke. And do you know this? We need his words. Jesus said so. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you know that? That you need the word of God even more than you need nourishment for your physical body. And so here's a question. Are you prioritizing the word of God in your life? Are you prioritizing the word of God in your life? And are you living by his word? What a shame if your whole life is wrapped up in entertainment. You're real excited about hearing from other people, just not so much God. So maybe you're into podcasts. I listen to a number of podcasts. But maybe you're like, oh, new one's going to drop on Tuesday. I can't miss that podcast. I will be there for that. And you're excited about Netflix. Oh, the new series is going to drop on Tuesday. I cannot miss that show. That's fine. There's a place for entertainment. But wouldn't it be a shame if you do that to the exclusion of God's word? You can speak of your excitement of those things, but you say, I just can't get it together. I never have really been consistent in taking in the word of God in my life. Listen, you should be in awe that God has spoken. And if God has spoken and he has, that should be a driving passion of yours. Well, I need to know what he said. I need to have the thoughts of God in my mind saturating me. I want to align my whole life in harmony with what God has been revealing to me. So today, maybe an application for you is this, to recapture the awe of the reality that God has spoken, that you have access to his words in the Bible that you own. So recapture the awe. Here's another step. Calendar your life around a consistent intake of God's word. You've got a lot of things to do, but you say, because God has spoken, I'm going to rearrange the priorities of my life that front and center, first and foremost, I must pull aside to meet with him. This treasure of the Bible, I need to have it in me as much as possible in my life. And all the other things can fall into a place in your life as well. First point this morning, it's a great one. God speaks. But how about this? Second point, God has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken to us by his son. That's verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. These two phrases are interesting here, worthy of our attention. First of all, to us. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to speak to us? Not just in the past to our forefathers of the faith, not just to people like Abraham and Moses and David, not just through prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but here we are in the new covenant, and here's the ultimate. God is speaking to us by his son. And this label of his son, this is referring to Jesus. This title is absolutely unique to Jesus. Jesus alone is the Son of God. Now, aren't we glad? Through faith in Jesus, we can be the adopted sons and daughters of God. But this title, the Son of God, is only found or fulfilled in Jesus himself. So here is a point we need to gather this morning is this. Do you see with me this morning that Jesus is far more than a prophet? Verse 1, God spoke in many times, many ways through the prophets. We're so grateful for that. But now a distinction. There's someone other than the prophets, someone greater than the prophets who's now speaking in the new covenant. And we have this being Jesus himself. Understand, Jesus is not a prophet. He's far greater than them. Now we are in a better age, and God has communicated in a much better way, more personally, more impressive now. Greater revelation coming by the Son. So how has God spoken to us? By his Son. He's speaking to us by coming to us. This is the ultimate communication with us. Jesus became one of us. He came teaching. He came explaining that the prophets and the scriptures of the Old Covenant are all fulfilled in him. Jesus came loving. Jesus came confronting unrighteousness. Jesus came to rescue us, even explaining the mission along the way that he was going to go to a cross for us. Jesus in his teaching promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised his second coming, a coming judgment and ultimate salvation when he comes again for his people. But ultimately and perfectly, what did God communicate through Jesus? Jesus revealed God to us. To see Jesus is to see what the Father is like. We see what God values in Jesus. We see what God loves. We see what God hates. We see what God thinks and the depths of his love in giving his son for us. So how wonderful that Jesus came just as the prophets had promised. And in the coming of Jesus, revelation, communication from God went to a whole new level. In Jesus, we have God himself walking the earth for 33 years. God himself walking the earth and communicating with mankind all on his way to the cross. Oh, in the past, how wonderful. Through the prophets, God mercifully spoke. But in these last days in his son, that's so much better. We watch a lot of news in these days, and there are so many important meetings happening around the world, these summits that happen. Because so much is happening in the world in the Middle East, there are often these summits that take place in a place like Qatar. And so we hear about emissaries meeting there on behalf of the various parties. Sometimes ambassadors will meet there to talk about what the administration of these various countries want to see happen. But we know it takes on a new dimension when the presidents themselves from various countries, they come. There was a time for the ambassadors, there was a time for the emissaries and everybody else. But when the leaders themselves sit down, we think, all right, this is big. Maybe they'll come to some resolution here. And that's kind of what we see here, but to a greater extent. Wonderfully, God spoke through the prophets to us. We gain so much from what the prophets spoke. Oh, but now in Jesus, this is God himself walking among us, communicating with us. So that's thrilling alone. God speaks, spoke through his son, but now what is the son like? And now we talk together about the greatness of Jesus. Look at how he's described in our text. First of all, Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus is the creator of the world. Verse 1, long ago and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he spoke to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. See this. Jesus is the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. John 1, verse 3 speaks the same way about Jesus. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 speaks this way about Jesus. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Listen, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So see Jesus, his unmatched rank, he's before all things. His unmatched power, he created the world. Jesus, his unmatched intelligence, his unmatched privilege, heir of all things, meaning all things belong to Jesus. I do love Colossians 1:16, where it said all things were created through him, but I love this, and for him. Everything made by Jesus, everything ultimately made for Jesus. He's the heir of all things belong to him. We're just talking about the greatness of Jesus, and the Word of God says he is your creator. What else do we see about Jesus here? We see his greatness also because he's revealed as the revealer of the Father. He is God with us. Verse 3 is amazing. Speaking of Jesus, he says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So when we see Jesus, we see what the Father is like. They share the same nature. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14 said he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. John 1:1 speaks of Jesus the same way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And continuing in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this morning, who is Jesus? Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh. And this is how Jesus spoke about himself. In John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. In John 10:38, Jesus said, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. So this brings us to that glorious truth of God's nature. God is a triune God. This is the truth, the biblical truth of the Trinity. Yes, there is only one God. Be clear on that. There's only one God. But this God is greater than us. He eternally exists, this one God, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, here in our text, we're told he shares the same divine nature as the Father, and we know also as the Holy Spirit. So look at these words again. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus is great. He's your creator. He is the revealer of the Father. He's God incarnate. But notice this also, he is the sustainer. He's the sustainer. Look at the Word of God. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Do you hear that? So this word upholds has the idea of carrying along. Jesus is actively upholding, sustaining the universe. Colossians 1:17 speaks the same way. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So how great is Jesus? How awesome is Jesus? See his power, his ongoing power. Yes, he spoke the universe into existence, but he sustains the universe by his power. So do you see this? Do you know this about you? You exist as a creation of Jesus. And you continue to exist this day because Jesus sustains you. He's upholding you and the universe in which you live. There's no one greater than Jesus. He's your creator. He's the revealer of the Father, God incarnate. He is the sustainer. Oh, but we are so grateful. He's also our Savior. He's our Savior. Back to verse 3. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now this, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Note that statement. After making purification for sins. So this was the ultimate mission. Yes, amazing that he made us. Yes, amazing that he reveals the Father to us, but aren't you glad he also came to save us, to reconcile us to the Father? Your sin has always been your greatest problem. Maybe even before you recognized it, certainly before you recognized it, your sin was your great problem. Your sin caused a great offense between you and a perfect God. And your sins is just more, is even more than a legal offense. It is. We've broken his laws, but our sin actually defiles our very soul. Our sins stain us. Our sins make us dirty in the sight of God. And so we need what Jesus came to do. We need a purification from our sins. We need a cleansing. Our sin causes a separation between us and a holy God. Our sins indeed bring great guilt. Our sins make us worthy of condemnation. Indeed, the prophets of the Old Covenant, they spoke about the problem of sin. They warned about sin's dangers. They also explained that God was unfolding a plan to bring about redemption for us. We were even promised a Savior. The prophets of old said there's one coming who would redeem us. We see that in places like Isaiah 59. But no prophet was the Savior. No prophet could bring about the purification for sins. They pointed to the one who would come who could do it. And so the Son came to accomplish this for us. And listen, only Jesus can purify you of your sins. Through giving his body, through giving his blood for you, he made, isn't it wonderful, purification for sins. How? Through giving himself as a sacrifice, as we just celebrated at the Lord's table. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he ascended to heaven. And we're told here he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus said it on the cross, it is finished. He accomplished our salvation, now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and we await his glorious return. He accomplished purification for sins for all who would believe in him. And so the question, have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you received pardon for your many sins? Have you trusted in Jesus receiving cleansing from your sins? Can I remind you, you cannot cleanse yourself. This is one of the errors of our age. I think many people think that, well, I've done some bad things, and I think they underestimate the damage sin has done to them. They certainly underestimate the moral filth that is on our soul because of all of our sin. And so many people think, well, I've done some bad things. Let me now do some nice things, and that'll kind of erase it. That'll kind of make things okay, but that's not a possibility at all. You can't cleanse yourself. And you and I know how cleansing works. We have lots of things that we wash in this life. You have dishes that you wash every day, I hope. And you probably have your favorite soap. You might have that Dawn Power Wash. I like that stuff. It does the job. But you might have another, and we could debate it after church, what your favorite is. But we know the right soap for the right dirtiness, I'll use it. Some of you have maybe a special soap. I'll only use this on my precious car. Nothing else will touch my car. You love your car that much. That's fine. You know what works to get the grime off your car. Maybe you have a beloved pet, and only this soap will touch my precious dog, and you have that. But what would you turn to wash your soul? There's nowhere to turn. There's nobody who can do it, and you can't do it yourself. Only Jesus can wash your soul. He came to make purification for your sins. As we sing many times, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what he came to do for us. Jesus is the Savior, but then there's one more. He's Creator. He's God in the flesh. He's sustainer of the whole universe. He's the Savior, and he is superior to all. Jesus is superior to all. That's verse 4. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So his nature is superior. He indeed shares the same nature as the Father and as the Holy Spirit. And his name is superior. And that should sound familiar to us. Because in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, we read about this is the name above all names. Hear the word of God. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We'll talk more next week about how Jesus is greater than the angels. There'll be a text next time that deals with that. We'll talk a lot about how Jesus is better than everything else, but we've heard enough today to act on that truth, haven't we? You've seen enough about Jesus already and his greatness that you know he's the one that you should trust with your soul, with your very life. You've heard enough today by looking at Hebrews chapter 1 that you know that you should reorder everything about your life underneath Jesus Christ. You should reorder all the priorities of your life under Jesus Christ. Behold, the greatness of Jesus. And there's no one greater than him. In fact, I want to give you a few moments to test that in your mind. You can take your mind through all of human history, and has there ever been anyone even close to Jesus in greatness? So let your mind search history. There's nobody worth even mentioning in the same conversation as Jesus in light of what we've seen revealed about the greatness of Jesus. Or let your mind go to anybody living today, and there's some people that think they're great all over the world, but is there anybody that you would describe as great compared to Jesus Christ? He stands alone in his greatness. And you and I should know, when we see the great one, the one who's superior to all, well, that's the one I want to trust. That's the one I want to follow. Listen, we do this in every other area of life, and you need to do it in this area of life as well. When you're shopping online, I bet there's nobody here who goes looking for all those great two-star reviews. You see the five-star reviews, you think, I don't want any of that five-star review. I want those products that nobody likes. I want those ones that everybody returns. Give me those two-star, one-star reviews. Listen, is it possible that you shop with more wisdom than you live your life? Many people choose the inferior all the time. He's the great one. He's the Savior. He's my maker. He sustains the universe by the word of his power. There's nobody like Jesus, but I think I'll follow my friends instead. I think I'll chase pleasure instead of his eternal riches. I think I'll wreck myself. Anything but Jesus. Listen, the word of God is so clear. And this is God loving you to give you this in the scripture that you might see. He's the one who loves me. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that I want to follow with my life. Jesus stands alone as the one you should trust and follow. Let's close this morning by hearing these words again, and let's act on them. Long ago, and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is much more excellent than theirs. He's greater than all. And finally, he's even greater than you. You know, our biggest rival to trusting in Jesus is usually ourselves. We have such a high estimation of ourselves. I think I can lead my life better than anybody else. These verses should humble you as well. As you hold yourself up to Jesus, recognize I should bow before him. I should not try to stand up to him. I should not try to be Lord over him and dictate how he's involved in my life. No, he's awesome. He's great. I surrender all gladly under his perfect, loving leadership of me. Let's pray together. God, we're amazed by what we've read, what we've been able to meditate on today. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us. We're so grateful that you're a God who has spoken. Oh, how we love the Old Covenant, and we benefit by reading what you said through the prophets, especially how they all pointed ahead to this new covenant. We're glad to live in these days. Lord, that you've spoken through your Son, that your Son came and lived and taught and then died for us and was raised from the dead and is coming again for us. We are overjoyed in Jesus. But Lord, I pray for those who are just today having their eyes open to your greatness. Lord, would you give them the faith to follow you? Lord, the wisdom to turn away from everything else, to have you in your rightful place in their lives as Savior, as Lord. God, we ask you to be glorified in us as we respond to you as we should. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.